Tano Tuiono joins us for a kōrero today. Tēnā koe, Tano. It's good to talk with you again, brother. Kia ora.
Kia ora, kia ora. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora. People reaching for their The Chase buzzers to pick that one up. Look, you've had a long involvement in the teaching profession. Finally, some consensus here. But they really had to battle, did they not? And it's a reminder, too, that collectivism, maybe even unionism, still has a place in modern-day New Zealand industrial relations. Had they have accepted the offer, then they wouldn't have, the earlier offers, they wouldn't have got the extra conditions that they fought so hard for. What does it suggest to you about unionism and its place in Aotearoa's industrial landscape?
I think it's essential, you know, making sure that we support workers' rights, and trade unions are at the heart of that, collectivism. And I'm actually reminded of all of the Māori activists that also had trade union backgrounds as well. I mean, Sid Jackson, classic, who came from a trade union background, but we know him for all the stuff that he did for us and to our Māori. So collectivism, trade unionism, supporting workers' rights, important and essential. So, you know, shout out to the union for getting that one over the line, the NZDI. Hard struggle. And the way I look at it, when I look at the government, they say they don't have this, that, and the other, is that's because they're not taxing the mega wealthy. I don't know if you saw a report that came out a couple of weeks ago where it said that 311 families had more wealth than the poorest 2.8 million people living in New Zealand. So there's a massive wealth gap. So we know where all the money is going. It's not trickling down, it's trickling up.
Can you name those people?
I don't think it goes into that.
Can you research and find out so we can name and shame those who are guilty of the extremes of capitalism?
I reckon we could. I think that's definitely possible. But you know, regardless of who it is, it's the system that allows them to actually make that amount of cash as well, and not just people, also companies as well. As we're going through the COVID crisis, the supermarket duopoly was making bank. Banks were also making bank. Massive profits, and here we are in the middle of a climate crisis, and the fossil fuel companies are raking it in. So something has to be done to stop all that money drifting up to the upper echelons of our society.
Yeah, well, I guess you and I are both middle class Māori because we eat Vogel's bread.
Yeah, and I don't know if you and me are going to be in that 300 million.
but the pressing question, because my friend reckons it is a sign of middle-class Māoriness is if you eat Vogels.
If you eat Vogels?
Yeah.
Did I eat any Vogels last week?
Of course you did. Come on, fess up, Tiano. Fess up, mate.
I'm a bit of a Molenberg man.
Oh, you're a Molenberg man. All right, then. Okay, close to Vogels.
But I can do some Vogels. It's true, I can do some Vogels.
I'd like you to lodge a serious complaint to the Vogels manufacturers. They're getting smaller and thinner. But anyway, we won't go into that. We've got some other issues. I just spoke with Te Taumata about your man, James Shaw, releasing details of what the plan is for the ETS. And I hope you're up to speed on this one. I'd say so if you're not really, but there was an injunction sought through the High Court by Te Taumata because the release of the details of such a plan lacked, he said, Māori consultation, and the impacts of decisions in this space could mount up to, I think he used the figure of $16 billion. This was to do with marginal land and exotic plantings, etc. It's a bit of a complex one, but the High Court didn't rule in favour of Te Taumata. What can you share with us from a Green Party perspective?
Is this the forestry stuff or the ETS stuff?
Well, they're interwoven. Te Taumata had sought to prevent the Crown announcing reforms to the ETS, but seemingly that didn't get upheld by the High Court. So we're waiting to see what happens. But James has been championing the whole sector, as you're aware.
Yeah. Well, the main thing with the ETS is that what it needs to be doing is to actually bring emissions down. So that's That's the main thing, and everything else on top of that is all about making sure that that's done in the most equitable way possible. The ETS is getting bumpy. People have been accusing the agriculture sector in particular for getting too much of a free ride, and that lobby is really, really powerful here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I was just actually reflecting on earlier how the previous head of the Federated Farmers is now standing for the ACT Party. I look at that and think, well, were they in this with all the best intentions? That's one of the questions that I have as well. But regardless of that, it is really important that we make sure that Māori are at the heart of a lot of this stuff as well. And I know that needs to be happening, particularly in the climate adaptation space. We all saw and had relatives over in Te Matawa, Maui, Hawke's Bay, Gisborne, up north in Auckland as well. So making sure that everything is done in a good way for our Maori community is really, really important, particularly if you have to have those really tough conversations around whether people have to move or not, and what that might mean for, you know, connections to wahi tapu, connections to maunga and awa and those sorts of things. So that's an important conversation to have. But yeah, the ETS, it's prickly.
Kia ora, and just a quick response, please. Areas of the Esk Valley have been red zoned, can't be rebuilt on traditional whenua, but local Māori there say they're not everyone's been treated fairly, with better off areas being excluded. What should be done there, do you think?
I think Māori need to be treated fairly. Actually, it's really, really important for people to remember that often when we find ourselves, as you know, I'm talking about New Zealand as a whole, in these places of crisis, Māori are the first people to open up their doors to help out. So I would be very disappointed if Māori are not being given Māori communities are not being given a fair say, or indeed having their voices heard on these really important issues. I mean, because we're in the situation because people have just commodified all the land, you know. So if you look at the places where if you would have had wetlands, if you would have had indigenous forests and that kind of thing, those places tend to do well. But where they've cleared them and replaced them for farms or whatever, without any thought to the way that the land is, then we haven't been thinking about that connection that people have with the whenua or maidan or tata and mātua tūpuna e kōrero ana. You know, that's what our tūpuna told us. That's what it means to be connected to the awa, connected to the nahere, connected to the maunga. We've got to get back to that kind of thinking. And now people have always had that.
Tēnā koe, and thanks for sharing some kōrero with us today, Tiana. All the best until next time. Mauri ora.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. That's Tiana Tuiono from the Green.